Bright Life Unshackled is for all those who want to empower young men and boys to think above the stereotype, to see their value and to make enlightened choices so that they can live their brightest, most fulfilling life. We aim to uplift and nourish, to provide information and inspiration, and ways of being and seeing that liberate minds and change conversations. Hi everyone, welcome to Bright Life Unshackled. I'm your host, Jennifer Bright, and I'll be interviewing a whole range of interesting people, including parents, teachers, coaches, community workers, and entrepreneurs, who each have valuable perspectives that will inspire us, the adults of today, to encourage the adults of tomorrow to shine and live rich, fulfilling lives. By reflecting on these conversations, it's our hope that, through you, young people will see their gifts and their goodness, that they'll become more aware of their own personal power to influence their direction, and that they'll acquire tools to navigate their path through life, and they may even awaken to their life purpose. Michael Bell works within the justice system and within schools and communities to raise the level of consciousness to effect change. In 2017, he set up A Few Great Men, which is designed to expand the awareness and the horizons of youngsters, whom he lovingly calls young stars. He is also part of the 56 Black Men movement, which exists to change the narrative and to make it known that I am not my stereotype. I'm so looking forward to this conversation. All right, good. So, Michael Bell, thank you very much for agreeing to be interviewed.
Good, nice to meet you.
So, you're from A Few Great Men. I say from, you...
Yeah. A Few Great Men is a company organisation that I put together back in 2017 in order to work with young people in the communities, in order... with the ultimate aim of being in the prison system, you know, having an impact in there and affecting change within the prison system as well.
Wonderful.
Yeah, currently within the prisons, I work for an organisation called CGL, which is Change, Grow, Live.
Change?
Grow, Live. Yeah, CGL. And I've been working with, well, working within the justice system for over like 6.5 years now, or 6 years, you know. So I've been around, whether that's Wandsworth Prison, Belmarsh. I've conducted work in other prison establishments as well. And yeah, just A Few Great Men is, you know, my own thing, just trying to really impact more change, because that's what's needed.
That's what's needed.
Yeah, indeed.
So that's great. Great to get that background and that context. So you say that's what's needed, and you know, I would obviously agree with that because of the... initiative that I'm involved in as well. But what was it that you saw? What did you see the need for that led you to set up A Few Great Men?
I guess, you know, as I said, like, so I've grown up in an environment where, you know, it was cool. It was cool when I was growing up, but there was a lot of challenges to deal with. Mm-hmm. Whether that's from opposing areas who didn't like the area you was from, or that were just challenges from just a mindset that we were exposed to. You know, when I'm talking about a mindset, you know, and it all could be done subconsciously. So it's not something we've just taken on, but, you know, it's a mindset where we might look at the next man that looks just like you and look at him as a potential threat more than... that's my brother, that's my sister, you know? So with having that mindset, you may act a certain way towards that person. And they got that same mindset. And that's what that breeds the toxins. That's out here. So that mindset. So I worked in prisons. Yes. I worked in prisons, and just giving you a back check on prisons and talking about the mindset, it's like,
yes,
I used to work in like welfare to work. So I was supporting people with getting jobs. You know, I got a story way before that, but I feel like if I start here, then you get the idea of how I've come to do what I do and where I'm at now. So I was helping people just getting jobs. and supporting them, whether that's through motivational interviewing, so I'm helping them with their CVs as well. And through that, you know, the company I was working for at the time won a contract in Wandsworth Prison. So they just won a contract to deliver work in Wandsworth Prison. So everyone I was working with was like, yeah, Michael, you should go for this, you should go for this. And it's like, deep down, I wanted to go for it. But then also, I didn't, because my mind started just thinking, yeah, prison, this ain't really for me. You know what I'm saying? So little did I know, one of my managers or team leaders at the time just sent an email to the people in the prison and said, yeah, I've got a guy here, he wants to go for this. And then I get a phone call from the person who was leading the whole prison contract.
Yes.
And he said, yeah, I want to come see you tomorrow, I heard that you're interested. And I was like, all right, cool. So he comes to see me the next day or a couple of days after. And through the conversation I was having with him, he's telling me about prison. And he was really like painting a very dark picture for me, saying, yes, you're going to be very isolated in your role. You know, and I've never been in prison before. Mm. I've only been to visit my friends, and that was like Feltham. So I've never been in like a big man.
I've
never been in a big man prison up until this point.
Right.
So he's telling me all of this. And then the one thing he said to me that triggered my mind, he said, yeah, and obviously we'll issue you with a set of keys. I was like, keys? He was like, yeah, you're going to have keys. How you think you're going to get around the jail? Then my mind just went somewhere. I was like, no, I can't have keys.
Yeah.
People want to think I'm a snitch. Like, yes, where I'm coming from is like, anything to do with authority wasn't deemed cool. Whether it's police, working in prisons, I'm guessing. I was like, keys? No, I don't want no keys. But I still agreed to do it. So then I'm a deep thinker, I overthink as well sometimes. So I was thinking a lot about it. So I started making phone calls to some of my friends who have been in jail. I was telling them about the position, and I was saying, no, it sounds good, man. And, you know, if we had someone like you within jail when I was in jail, maybe things would have changed, or, you know what I mean, things would have been better. And
what was the potential role that you were going to be playing?
So this role was resettlement. It was just supporting guys in jail who's probably got like 6 months to 3 months left on the sentence. Just helping them with their bank accounts or whatever they may need.
To prepare for them to come out. Yes.
But then I was still anxious, and I spoke to one of my good friends, and he said something to me that really, really sparked my journey. Mm. He said, listen, like, you've got nothing to worry about when you go for this role, because you are them. And they are you. You are a reflection of them. Mm. Like, it's just like us chilling together. These are your people.
Mm.
And that just gave me so much confidence and a realization I already knew, I already had in me, but he just brought that out of me. And it was like, it's true. So then when I went into that role, into Wandsworth Prison at that time, I was just walking with so much confidence, you know. And then, yeah, I just started engaging with the guys. And unfortunately, for whatever reason, but fortunately for me and my role, a lot of the guys I was engaging with looked just like me.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? They had the same texture hair as me, the same width of the nose and lips and all of those things, and the same skin complexion, or even darker.
Yes.
So, and I was able to just build a good relationship.
Wonderful.
You know, within that. But I still didn't feel like I was utilising my skills, because not all I was doing was just supporting them before they came out.
Mm-hmm.
But then a position came up in Belmarsh. And now this is a high security prison. A position came up in Belmarsh to create and run your own project. You know what I'm saying? So I had to go for that. And I went for the interview.
Yes.
Done well in the interview. The interview was funny, because I think on just basic, the generic questions they're asking me, I don't think I done well. But through that interview, I kind of stopped the interview and said, listen, like, if we're going to talk about so-called gangs, I don't think these questions are matching what really needs to be done.
Oh.
And so I was like, yo, can we just have a conversation?
Oh.
And I can tell you what I feel needs to be done. And they were like, cool. So we had that conversation. I broke it down for them and just, you know, gave a lot of passion into what I was saying.
Yeah.
And they went for it, and I got the job. And then, yeah, I just got the job in Belmarsh. Now I'm in Belmarsh having built my own project.
Yes.
You know what I mean? My own project, which is to engage so-called gang members or people that's been affected by the street life and street culture to come together in a therapeutic environment to discuss their issues whilst giving them guidance and direction. And, you know, and it's just had massive impacts. And this, I guess, it's a story that not many people would know because this is jail. Like, you, like, for one, I don't like speaking about too much about the work that I do in prison.
Yes.
But for two, it's hard to see the impact because it's done behind the walls and behind the gates. But
and within people's skins, within people's souls.
Indeed, indeed. And that's what the aim was to really get to the root of the issues. You look at it like a tree. If you know, you can take off the leaves and cut off the branches, and that will eventually grow back. If you get to the root of the issue, then you'll stop that growth. And I'm not talking about the trees. I love trees, and I want to see them nourish and grow forever. But I'm just saying, we get to the root of the issues that these young people, not even just young people, these brothers within the jail were going through, and that's how we can change things. And if we install enough greatness, if we install enough hope, if we install enough self-worth, enough belief, enough drive, commitment, love, if we install enough love into each other, and then that's how things can change. I do feel like what's going on right now in this current climate is a lot of unconsciousness, you know, and with all due respect, we're doing things that we don't know we're actually doing because we're in the moment. You know, I'm 30, 34 years old, and some of the things that I've done when I was 16, 18 years old, I look back and think, what was I doing? But when you're in the moment, you don't really realise or you can't identify what you're doing because you're just living life.
You're living life. Yeah. And something that I've... what you're saying is really so important, and I'm going to ask you a couple of questions to follow up. But what you say about not quite realising what you're doing when you're young, one of the things... But you will know this, but one of the things I found so interesting was... about brain development and how the brain, the adolescent brain, is considered development is considered to be between 13 and 24.
Okay,
it's a long time. It's before all of the regions of the brain are developed, and so some of those regions that affect impulse or allow you to think through consequences aren't developed.
Yeah, yeah.
And so it's no wonder that young people can be so impulsive, you know.
And, you know, I don't feel like I started growing up till I was about 26. So just going off the back of what you said, it's so these young people and in regards to these young people, imagine all the information that they're receiving. This world is full of information now. Too much information with the social media, with everything. Social media is a beautiful thing, and the internet's a beautiful thing because you can connect with so many people around the world, and you can learn so many things. You can acquire so much knowledge, wisdom, and understanding through social media or whatever. But with all the information, all the things that's, you know, just getting driven into all of our minds, it's hard to balance that and have that on your shoulders and walk forward with it, you know? So it's not just... I don't want to speak on, young people are this, young people are that, because there's so many different factors that affects what's going on today. But what I want to hint, and we'll get to that, is, you know, we're just speaking on such a small minority of things. If we're talking about young people who's, you know, killing each other and going to prisons and stuff, that's such a small minority. But what's been portrayed in the media is like, every young person, especially young black person, are killing each other or they're getting killed.
That's the impression.
And that's what I'm saying. What's that doing for our man? Because if I'm 16 years old and I'm watching the news and all I see is another young black boy that's been stabbed and killed, and the person that stabbed and killed that person is another young black boy.
Yeah.
I'm gonna look at myself and identify with what I see on the television.
Or
within social media. So how am I going to have any real aspirations for myself? Because these things subconsciously plant seeds, and those seeds will grow. So I always say, and I know it might not sound ideal, for every young black, not forget that, for every young person that's been killed in senseless killing, you need to go to that same area, that same environment, find another young person that's doing something so great and so constructive, and highlight that so you show the balance. And what we're not doing enough of is showing the balance of life. But there's so much creativity. I love this generation.
Yeah.
This generation is a beautiful generation. This generation is fearless. This generation a creative.
I love that you call them young stars.
Young stars,
I love
yeah,
that you call them young stars.
Yeah, young stars is, you know, my uncle always used to call me a young star, you know what I'm saying? And and that just stuck with me. And it gave me a sense of identity. It gave me a sense of achievement, like I can achieve something.
Yes.
You know, so we are young stars, man. And
yes.
I believe in the power of the word. I believe if you speak something enough, you will become it. So if you're walking around saying, my life is S-H-I-T, my life is S-H-I-T, then no doubt your life is probably going to be S-H-I-T. If you walk around saying, I'm a young star, I am great, I will achieve, I will do this, you know, I will, yeah. instead of I will try.
Yeah.
When you say try, you're just allowing room for error, you know, and nothing's wrong with error as long as you learn from it and you move forward. But if you say, I will do this, then you will do that. And that's what I've learned within my life. It's, I just started believing in myself. I just started believing in myself. And it's not easy to get to that point.
Yeah.
But I believe in myself, and I just want to get everyone that I engage with to believe in themselves or believe in yourself more and know your worth. I'm unable to tell you, Jennifer, how much you are worth. I can speak on your worth, but only you know how much you're worth. But you have to look deep within yourself to know, you know what, I am worth this. I can achieve this, you know.
And what was the journey to that point? Not quite what was the journey, but if you were to advise some young people and how to develop that self-worth, what sorts of things would you think it's important for them to do or to think or to practice or to immerse themselves in?
I say, look at your surroundings, for one. Look at your surroundings. Spend some quiet time, you know. And these might not always be things young people are going to be excited to do, but these are the things that I feel like will help you develop. If you look at that need for change, you know, nothing happens before its time, and everything happens in time and in season. So I'm unable to change if I don't feel like I need to change, you know. Like if I'm eating unhealthy, but I don't feel like it's affecting me, I'm not going to feel to stop eating unhealthy.
No motivation.
It's until you start feeling the effects from your diet that you feel like, oh, this needs to change. You know, so, and knowledge, history, your history, man. I really believe in the saying, if you don't know where you come from, it's going to be hard to know where you're going, you know. And just as I said again, and I'm going to keep saying it, is know your worth. The great Dr. Miles Monroe said something that's always stuck with me. He said,
I don't know that name.
Yeah, Dr. Miles Monroe. Check his stuff out.
Miles Monroe.
Yeah,
okay.
He's a preacher. He's passed on now.
Yes.
With the ancestors now. But you know, he's a deep person from the stuff that I've seen of him. But yeah, he said something that stuck with me. He said, when true purpose is not understood, abuse becomes inevitable. And that has stuck with me.
That's deep.
When you don't understand your purpose in life, you will abuse it. You know, if we understood how our bodies work, like fully understood how our bodies work, how our liver works, how everything works, would we be eating what we eat? Would we be drinking what we drink? Would we be smoking what we smoke? You know, would we? Because we understand that it takes this part of our body to pump in order for this part of our body to work and stuff like that. So it's like, when you don't know your purpose and your direction in life, abuse becomes inevitable. And if we are focusing on these young people that's involved in, you know, the criminal activity in the street life, they don't know their true purpose. Because if they did, you would not be engaging in what you're engaging in. You will be striving to look for more, and it's not just a financial strive. You'll be striving to impact more and to help more.
Yes.
You know? So it's about understanding your purpose and your worth.
Yes.
For sure.
That makes a lot of sense. And what would you say, in a similar vein, I guess, you mentioned the food that we put into our bodies.
Yeah.
What about the influences on our minds and our spirits? Because I was speaking to somebody yesterday who has a 14-year-old son, and she said, I can't stop him from watching music videos and acting out the kind of, you know, gangster mannerisms and so on. But she said, it does concern me. And I thought, I must see, because I know what my feeling around, say, drill music is that although it's art, the energy of the music and the words that are spoken have an effect. And I don't have children, so, you know, I wouldn't presume to tell parents what to do. But I just wondered what your thoughts were about the effect of sort of music and sort of wider culture, sort of popular culture.
Yeah, because that's always the question. I feel like music has an effect, period. It doesn't matter what music. Bob Marley has an effect on me. You know what I mean? John Lennon has an effect on me, on many people. The Beatles had an effect on people. Tupac Shakur. The list goes on. So, you know, you go to a club, you hear music that's more up-tempo, you're going to dance. If you hear music that's more soulful, and you might reflect more and just chill. So music has an effect. And this is always kind of a difficult one with, if we're using drill music. And I feel like drill music has always been the scapegoat. There's wider social issues and wider social problems, and a lot of problems and issues that a lot of people ain't looking to touch on or speak on, because it's not politically correct to say X, Y, Z. It's easier to just throw it back on the young boys doing drill. You know, if we're talking about drill music, there's artists out there that's, I wouldn't call them artists, they're specifically going on the track to taunt the other, their oppositions, you know, their enemies, or whatever you may want to refer to them as. So I don't really look at them like these are artists, because whether they're on the track talking, I'm going to do X, Y, Z to you, you can take away the music, but they're still going to go over to the other block and do X, Y, Z. So they're just putting on music. But, you know, sometimes music reflects what's going on, you know?
Yes.
It reflects what's going on. And it's hard to hear. It's hard to hear what some of these guys are saying and what they're talking about, but it's really reflecting their life. But what I would say to the artists themselves is, like, you know, and I challenge so many people within the prisons as well.
Yes.
They're like, yeah, but Matt, we're talking on our life. I'm like, yeah, I hear you, but that's not your whole life, because you smile, you give your mum a hug, you probably fell in love before. So why don't you incorporate that in your music, so you're giving the world or all these millions of viewers a balance. You're giving them a balance of so when they're hearing things, okay, you're living this life, I don't want to live it, I've got enemies, but you know, I've got a date with this girl tomorrow, and you're talking about these things. But then their response is, yeah, but Mike, no one wants to hear that. And this when I come to the labels or what the radio stations allowing to be played on the thing. So everyone plays a part in this, and because people are getting paid off of this.
Yes.
So once money's involved, you know, people compromise themselves. So these same people that are talking about, you know, this knife crime needs to stop, but then you're playing on radio a song where the guy's talking about just killing someone or going to kill someone or sell drugs to people. Don't make no sense.
No, but it doesn't.
Can't be a hypocrite, because probably on my drive home tonight, on my playlist, a song's going to come up and that person's probably talking about the same things. But it's like, you know, I'm over the influence. And I've always been over the influence. And, you know, I guess growing up, I was listening to artists such as Tupac, Mobb Deep, Wu-Tang, Nas. You know, I was listening to artists like that. And a lot of these artists had a lot of violence in their music, but it wasn't reality to me, because they're from Queensbridge in New York or Harlem. They're from these places in New York. That was far away.
Removed,
But the artist today, your favourite rapper, could just live down the road in that estate. So you're actually seeing the lifestyle that he's talking about. You're hearing the stories firsthand.
And it's more real.
And it's more real. So it's having an effect. So I just don't think drill should get, like, it's got a lot of spotlight on it. Certain music needs to, you know, I believe in freedom of speech, but if your music is not impacting and uplifting people in one way or another, you can talk about your pain, you can talk about what you've been through, and that can inspire and impact people to want to keep striving. Listen to DMX, and back in the day, he will give you that yeah, let me go, I need to keep going, I know times are hard, but I'm gonna get through it. If you're just talking on music solely to you know, put down other people, that's not music to me anymore in the mindset that I'm in.
Yes.
But we need more opportunities for our young people because they're in a situation where music seems like the only ticket out. Not many people make it through football.
Right.
But music's the only way out. And this is what we need to change. We need to be presenting more opportunities for our young people, more opportunities. There's nothing wrong with music, so whoever's listening to this now, if you believe in your music and you believe in your passion,
yes,
go for it. But, you know, for me to you, just use your music as a tool and an art form to inspire people, to uplift people.
Mm.
That can be from your story, but your story is always going to inspire somebody.
Yes.
But,
That's a really interesting perspective and really rounded. Yeah. That makes an awful lot of sense to me. And I must say, I hadn't thought of it in the ways that you're speaking about
it. And sorry, it's gone. We have to listen closely to, I guess, what they're saying.
Mm-hmm.
This is not new.
Mm-hmm.
It's just drill music is just being said in a different language, but a language that a lot of guys from the streets can listen to. But Bob Marley, he's been singing about this for years.
Yes.
Tupac Shakur, he was rapping about this. There were so many artists that's singing and rapping about it. Like talking about the struggle of a people, the struggle of communities, but no one wants to listen. But then now these young kids are talking about doing what they actually live in.
Yeah,
it's scary now.
It's scary, yeah.
But listen to the music, because there's deeper messages in the music, man. Break it down. Understand these are 16-year-old kids talking about, yeah, I'm gonna go and stab this person. I'm gonna go shoot this person.
Mm.
And instead of thinking, "Oh, this is just adding fuel to the fire," in one point it might be. This is a 16-year-old kid talking like this. So why are 16-year-old babies talking like this?
Babies, children.
Literally, why are they talking like this?
Mm.
You know,
But that's the question.
There's so many different influences, man, and
there's
movies, but no one wants to touch on the big Hollywood movies
because the money spinners.
This is what I'm saying. So it's deeper than that, man. I just feel like a lot of pressure, as I said, is on our young people, man, and
absolutely,
we just need to be there to give them more guidance and more direction.
Yes,
you know?
Yes, and I agree that that's the answer, the route to take, because the issues are so huge that. And as you say, when money's involved, it makes change very, very slow.
Mm-hmm.
But at least if the young people can have some targeted guidance, as you say, then it can make the difference in the lives of individuals, So what sorts of things do you feel are important for... You mentioned self-worth and having a purpose.
Mm-hmm.
You mentioned the impact of noise and information, the amount that young people have to process, which can overload the system and overwhelm the system. And the nervous system,
Of course, and we're in a world full of fear. Everything operates off of fear.
Mm.
Fear of being a victim.
Mm.
Fear of having no money. You know, fear of being just feeling like you're not worth anything, fear of being incompetent.
Mm-hmm.
There's so many fears, you know. I'm just scared. So because I'm so scared, I'm going to rob this guy because I think he's going to rob me, so let me get there first. That's the element of fear.
Mm-hmm.
And this is what we're operating off. We're operating off a world of fear. And as I said, all the information that we're receiving, it's just going to make you more fearful.
Yeah.
You know, it's going to make you lock your doors when you're in your car quicker.
Yeah.
It's going to make you zip up your bag because you're fearing, so we're operating off a higher level of fear.
Absolutely, every day, and not just adults but young people. As you said.
Mm-hmm.
So, what sorts of practical measures would you say that young people could take to either get out of fear or reduce the fear, or just kind of improve their
It's just trying to, fulfill your potential, man.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel this when it comes to us, the ones that's been through it and survived the times, that we need to start giving back. So we need to, a conversation goes a long way. A conversation goes a very long way. You don't have to know these young people. You just have a conversation, see how they're doing, see what their life's about. The work that I do within the prisons especially and in the schools and stuff is... No, we just have conversations. But yes, I know we have to offer them stuff. So career opportunities, mm-hmm. you know, if we're going to open up youth clubs again, but they need to be safe youth clubs. There needs to be, you know, taking them out into nature, you know, just tapping into different elements of life, man, and giving them options. Mm. You know, you'll be surprised, a lot of these young people, or a lot of people I knew growing up, never left their borough.
Oh.
You know, if they've got the opportunity to travel, and I know that sounds far-fetched, and this is just me generalising, but yeah, I know travelling ain't always something that people are able to do because of finances and stuff like that, but yeah, we just need to just give more opportunities and give back and start building more. And, you know, just education. Education is key, but education in a fun way where it's going to be able to be digestible. So you get knowledge yourself, for sure.
So, when you say education, do you mean generally or about their history, our history?
Yeah. So general education, for sure. Like, you know, what do these guys like? If I'm generalizing, okay, they like money. They want the finer things. Mm-hmm. Okay, so let's show these guys how to make legit money. A lot of these brothers out here, they're selling drugs. They've got a few people running around for them. In some way, you're running a business. You're running a business. So let's turn that skill set that you got into something more legit. We're in 2020 now.
Yeah.
If you wanted to connect with someone from Singapore right now, you could. You know, I'm guessing in our days when we was growing up, and you know,
certainly in mine.
Yeah. You know, you couldn't just connect with people like that. So.
No.
Have an idea.
Yeah.
But what are you good at? What do you like doing? If you like making money, okay, let's start building a business plan.
Mm-hmm.
And let's have you focused on something. This is your product, and now you're trying to sell this product to here, there, and everywhere. These things are possible. These things can happen. But, you know, it does come with commitment, and it does come with hard work.
Yes.
And, you know, I guess, and even, you know, selling drugs, that's not easy. I'm sure you can speak to anyone that sells drugs and makes money from it. It's not easy.
Mm.
When the money comes, but when, you know, you've got to deal with other factors, people robbing,
dangerous,
robbing you.
Dangerous factors, yeah.
So just switch up the product. It's not just me saying, okay, just do this, like it's easy and overnight, but there's things you can do. So there's so many people that know how to make money. There's so many people within our communities that know business, you know. So let's teach these young people about business or whatever they want to know
in a legitimate
sense.
And so are you proposing that, I mean, I suppose in an ideal world you'd be proposing that in a school setting or in a sort of after school setting or whatever, really, maybe.
Yeah, whatever the setting may be.
Yeah.
It might have to be at home.
Mm-hmm.
It might have to be at home or in school, outside the school. Just education. And if you're talking about history, if you're talking about young black boys, because I know this is affecting a lot of young black boys, history is important. We've been sold and told the history by people who have, you know, have been oppressing us for hundreds in years.
Mm-hmm.
But our history is such a beautiful history, and that's something that really charged me up and to feel divine. It's like learning my history, learning about the ancient kingdoms of Kush and Kemet and, you know, the Songhai people and Queen Nzinga and the civil rights movement. And, you know, there was a lot of downs within our history, but there's a lot of great times. And we've accomplished so much, we've achieved so much, and we're continuing to achieve so much.
Mm-hmm.
I've said this many times before. If you look at your history, and if you think your history began at slavery, what's that going to do for your growth?
Mm.
That's going to be detrimental to your growth because you feel like where I come from is just slaves.
Mm.
Okay, Martin Luther King got killed. Malcolm X got killed. Patrice Lumumba. All of these people got killed. Tupac got killed. Biggie got killed. So all these people that I looked up to, they just got killed. So if you're basing your history just off of that, that's not going to make you aspire. And this is all due respect to all of these guys that have done great work who's left the blueprint for us to continue on. But looking forward, we're not going to have much hope. Mm. So we need new leaders, new people doing great things. We need to advertise what we're doing more. But before you start that, do your history, understand where you come from, research Kemet and Kush, and research the ancient civilizations and the pyramids and stuff like that, because that will just instill you with so much greatness.
And pride.
And pride.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Realize what's been taken away from you in order for you to take it back.
Mm.
You know? And I'm talking about not just physically what's been taken away from you, what's been taken away from you internally.
Yeah.
But they can never take it away from you because it's still in you. You know? It's still in you. So you just have to look deep within inside self in order to find that.
Mm.
You know?
And so you're talking about this, making ourselves aware of our history and making ourselves aware of what's currently happening that's good. So it's not so that the negative headlines aren't seen as the truth. And this links to the movement that you're part of, 56 Black Men.
Okay,
which is how I first heard about you.
Okay.
And that's the purpose of that movement, isn't it?
Yeah, 56 Black Men.
Yeah.
Just like myself, we're changing the narrative.
Mm.
We've had this narrative before. Young black boys, criminals, been demonized, they're angry, getting arrested, going to jail, they're dying early over senseless killing, drug dealing, you know.
That's
young
the story.
Young black boys, young black women, you know, being over sexualized, being, you know, just being put down. I'm tired of it. I'm tired of it. And We need to change that narrative. Mm. I know that's a saying that's always being said, but we need to change that narrative. And I believe that narrative is changing. I do believe more people are becoming more conscious now.
Yes.
More people are waking up out of that unconscious mindset.
Yes.
But yeah, the narrative needs to change, and it has to change, man. And I believe in it, because, and then you identify. So when you're growing up, so when our young kids are growing up and our babies are growing up, they can identify with more people that look like them, that speak like them, that's from the same environments of them.
Yeah.
But when they're looking at these guys, they're getting filled with so much inspiration to be like, I want to be like him, I want to be like her, you know? So, 56 Black Men, definitely a powerful, powerful movement.
Yes.
And it's more than a movement now, so big up to CFAS, the creator of that. And I was about to say it was good to be a part of, but I'm always going to be a part of 56 Black Men.
Yes.
Because I am a 56 Black Man.
Yeah.
And there's millions of us, man.
Mm.
People that just go on the radar, but they're doing so many great things. So it's not always what you see on the TV. There's so many people behind the scenes really affecting change, man. And I can just name them off the top of my tongue, just keep on going. But
you're absolutely right. I think things are changing.
Yeah.
And it was lovely to see the interview that some of the group did with Victoria Derbyshire.
Okay, yeah.
It was a short piece, 20 minutes or so, but really powerful.
Yeah.
And doing exactly what you're saying, changing the narrative, making it clear that, you know, we are not our stereotypes.
We're not all affected by what is pushed out there.
Yeah.
There are people that are affected by this.
Mm.
You know, there are people that are in this unconscious mindset, and that we need to just try to just make them realize self, because I feel it's a bit patronizing for them to say like try wake them up. It's not about waking up, it's about just realizing what's inside you, the jewels that's inside you. When I'm saying you is your own universe. That's what you stands for. YOU is your own universe, and everything revolves around you and what's inside you. You've got greatness in you.
Yes.
You've got Godship in you. You've got divineness in you. You've got a kingdom in you. You've got a history of so many great ancestors within inside you.
Mm.
So look deep, young brother. Look deep, young sister.
Mm.
And believe in self and go for what you want to go for. But let me tell you this now. You are worth more than the jail cell. You are worth more than an early grave. You are worth more than getting arrested and going through this. Even though I know things systematically are put in place to put you in that box, So it's not just hard, we're picking and choosing to go in that. Sometimes systematically some things have been set out where it's going to be very tough for you to maneuver. But we're hustlers. We're hustlers by nature. It's in our blood. It's in our genes. So understand self. Know what you want to do. If you don't know what you want to do, speak to someone and help get them to help you to figure out what you want to do. Because I had many good people around me that done the same to me. And then when you want to do it and you believe in it, you will achieve that for sure. You just got to go through it, man. Don't be afraid of hard work. Don't be afraid of commitment. Don't be afraid of drive, man. You know, it's happened for so many of us, man. So you can do it, young king. You can do it, young sister, you know?
I love those words of encouragement. And not only encouragement, but wisdom. I love your own universe.
Yeah, you. That's your own universe.
Your
man.
Own universe.
We are one with the universe. Mm. We are one. So that's inside of us, man. And I'm just happy that I've got to that space.
Yes.
And I'm tuned into that frequency of knowing who I am. I'm always learning every day, but believing in myself. I come up having no real confidence. I grew up just didn't have no faith. I was very depressed in my mindset. I was very negative in my mindset. You can speak to my friends when I was younger. I was very just wearing all black and just not really, didn't have no faith that I could do anything or become anything or become anyone. But yeah, I'm proud of my journey.
Oh,
and
yes.
I see my 16-year-old self in so many young stars that I engage with.
Yeah.
And just even just from walking on the street, and it's like, yo, you've got your future ahead of you, man. Just plant the seeds now.
Yeah.
Plant the seeds. Speak it into existence. Because when you speak into existence, all you're doing is planting the seed for the future.
Mm.
So speak into existence, man. But this gang thing, this road thing, this bad boy thing, it's played out. There's going to be a time where you get to the ages that I'm at where it really matters. Not saying your life now when you're 16 doesn't matter, but this when it really matters, when you're looking around, being 30 something, and people are getting married, they're having children, they're traveling the world, they're buying houses, they're driving nice cars. This is when it really, really matters. So plant your seeds now so you can get to these ages and enjoy the fruits of your labour. You know what I'm saying? The fruits are there. The fruits are there. You're just probably not able to pick the fruits right now. But soon they're gonna be ripe and the fruits are gonna taste so sweet. So yeah, man. I just wanna see everyone shine and just be good and just be in an element of just love.
Yes, and live their potential.
Yeah,
you know, just live the full lives that are waiting.
There's always going to be challenges, though. Don't get that twisted. So I don't want to sound like I'm just speaking like a idealistic mindset. Like, okay, the world's perfect.
I know
it's not. But there's always going to be challenges and stuff like that and setbacks. When you prepare yourself for that, you know, you get knocked back, you get up, you go again. Nothing's going to be perfect, but
we've all had disappointments and as you say, setbacks. I'm interested, how do you make your choices? How do you kind of navigate through life? Do you have kind of criteria that you use to help you decide what roads to take, what decisions to take?
Interesting.
I
don't think I've ever reflected on that. But I guess, you know what? I guess the reflection.
Mm-hmm.
I do a lot of reflecting.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe when I make the decision, I put thought into it. But it's only when I've made a decision that I can reflect and realise if I've made the right decision or the wrong decision.
Okay.
I don't think no decision's ever wrong because you just learn from it.
If I didn't make the
so-called wrong decision,
I
may not know what I know now.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And sometimes you have to go down certain roads in order to know something.
Yeah.
I speak to the guys in the jail and I say that, say it to them straight up. Bro, maybe you're meant to sit down for 5-6 years. Maybe you're meant to be here to sit down for 5-6 years so you can have time to reflect.
Mm.
And maybe this is the time that you need to reflect, the 6 years, because if you're still on road, you'd have been still getting involved in whatever you was getting involved in, and we might never be having this conversation. So use this time to reflect and use this time to build. So if you've got that opportunity for 5-6 years to reflect and build and sharpen your tools so for when you come home, then you know that wrong decision might have been subconsciously the right decision, you know? So everything happens for a reason.
Everything happens for a reason.
I believe in that. So, so to your question, I don't think I have any, like, specific criteria to my decisions. But I guess with my decisions, it's always led with love, though.
Led with love.
Yeah, love's always at the forefront.
Right.
Yeah, and my deep care and understanding for my community and the people within my community, and especially these young black boys going through what they're going through, and young black girls as well. Let me never forget that. So
yes, they're not so in the public eye, are they, the girls?
Yeah, no,
I'm not aware of them at all.
Yeah, it's a different pressure, but it's the same. And you know, I just don't feel like I have a full understanding of what our young sisters are going through. I don't have a full understanding. That's why maybe I haven't done enough work. But you know, I'm a man, so I can fully identify with what it's like to be 15 years old, 16 years old. Obviously, the times are different, but I can identify with that. But so I don't have no real criteria. I just go with love and with what I believe and what resonates within me.
So they might not be criteria in terms of, you know, mental checklist, but you're being led, as you say, by your heart, and by your heart, by love, and your values and purpose. From what you've said. And so in that case, so I'm just thinking for young people listening, and we've spoken about you know, brain development and how how the brain, all the regions of the brain don't fully develop till sort of mid-20s. Somebody listening might think, well, in that case, I could be making a decision that I regret. But you've already spoken to that. You know, they may not be, there are no wrong decisions, because everything is here to help us.
Listen, just make whatever decision you make. You know, sometimes you just live life and you don't really notice it's a decision. Everything's a decision. I decided to put this green jacket on today instead of my black one or my brown one. So, but that's not a big decision. But if you're faced with those big choices and now you have to make that choice, just go with what resonates with you the most. You know what I mean? And that's the biggest battle we've got, is trying to get our heart and our mind in alignment with each other. That is such a hard battle, and I don't know if anyone's mastered that, you know, but I'm striving to, but I'm not sure
if anyone's
mastered that. But just go with what feels right within you, man. If you know this bold thing and what you're involved in isn't for you, do not be afraid to come out of the box and just say, yo, this ain't me. Do not be afraid that other people are going to think, oh, my man's like this now, my man's like that. Go with what's within you, because when it's all said and done, it's about you and it's about your choice and your decision. So
your life.
So believe, really believe in what you're trying to do. You know. That's all I can say, especially if you've got that choice. A lot of these guys, man, it's unfortunate to say, they're so deep in, it's going to be very hard to come out. In order to come out, you're going to have to make some massive decisions and some massive choices, you know, that you may not be comfortable with. But so many people have so far gone within the unconsciousness. It's going to be hard to wake up again, but there's always possibilities, man.
There's always possible.
Just believe in self, for sure.
So you've spoken about mindset, and you've spoken about, you know, the way you think. Are there any actual practices that you use to keep, I don't want to say to keep positive, because it's not that so much, but are there any practices that you use to kind of, you know, combat all of the stimulus that's coming at us, and the overstimulation, and the enormous amount of information? Are there things that you sort of daily practices?
Me personally, I think I can always do more, but, you know, my breathing.
Breathing.
Yeah.
Okay.
Quiet time.
Yes. When you say breathing, say
like some breathing practices, man. Inhale, exhale. You inhale and then you let out everything you've taken on. You let that out, you know. But I need to do more of that. A lot of quiet time. I dictate more time now. I dictate what information I receive. So who I may follow on Instagram, what I may watch on the TV, what I might click on YouTube. So I'm very in control of the information I receive, you know. But yeah, no real practices, man, but just...
Well, those sound like pretty good ones to me.
Just, you know, I'm fortunate enough to be in a relationship with a beautiful woman that's also tuned into the same vibration and frequency as me as well. So it's always good if you've got someone like a compliment,
absolutely,
you know, that can push you in that direction as well.
Yeah.
And just I utilize my friends, you know, I utilize my family, I utilize my experience, I utilize nature, I utilize knowledge, I utilize learning, and I utilize wisdom. But most importantly, yeah, I utilize love. So if you utilize everything that's around you, you know, if you're going at 100 miles per hour driving down the motorway, or whatever, you're driving 100 miles per hour, you're going so fast, all you've got is that tunnel vision. But you didn't go slow enough to recognize all the beautiful things that's around you, the beautiful blue sky, maybe the lakes and the rivers that you pass, the trees. These are beautiful things that can help you in your mental health. You know, so if we just take time to really appreciate what you've got.
Yes.
And the first most important thing is we've got life.
Yes.
We've got life. We woke up today. So if we can appreciate every little thing that we've got. You've got a mum. Not everybody's got their mum. You might have a dad, not everybody's got their dad.
Yeah.
You've got siblings, not everybody's got siblings. So you've got a bed, you've got a roof over your head.
Yeah.
So we start just appreciating. We're too much in a rush to just get.
And not notice that's already here.
Why are you rushing? Slow it down. Just take it easy. What is meant for you will come to you, you know? If you just put the right energy in it. But we don't need to be rushing to get all the time.
So just chasing.
Yeah, appreciate. So I've just learned to appreciate what I've got, you know? If I don't feel like I've got... If I wanted £20 tomorrow, if I wanted £20 today, but I've only got £5, you know, I'm not going to stress it because I know that £20 will come. You know, I just put the work in, and I will naturally generate that towards me. Opportunities will naturally come towards you. You just put that right energy, but that needs
to come
from a deeper belief in yourself and a deeper belief into what you want.
Yes.
You know, nothing's going to come for free. And
nothing's coming for free.
I love what you've said. I love everything that you've said. I read a lovely phrase the other day. What you appreciates.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what you're saying. You know, if you put your attention on what you've already got, then that amplifies, and then you get more of what you already got, rather than looking at what you don't have,
just build on,
and chasing it. Yeah,
you know, people, I've got nothing. That's what they'll say, but you've got something. So let's work on what you have got.
Yeah,
you know, I set up my organisation for £20-30 on Company House. I registered it. And you know, that was £30, but from that, I've managed to get myself into places where I can have huge impact on young stars, Houses of Parliament
with
you know, and that was just from a vision. You know, let me set up this organization, and I visualized how it's gonna look, and I've got a bigger vision. So you won't be able to achieve anything if you can't see yourself achieving it, if that makes sense.
It does make sense.
You know,
yeah.
I've visualized myself having interviews such as this. I visualized myself going into schools. I visualized myself working in prisons and putting on big events with 60 to 80, not even just young people, 60 to 80 convicted murderers, drug dealers, all together from opposing areas, but they've come together on a level of peace.
Wow.
I visualised that before I made it happen, and I made it happen.
So you've done that?
Yeah.
Wow.
That's happened a number of times.
Wow.
Like, just, you know, bringing people together on a level of peace and togetherness and a common ground. We're building a community, and you know, and
one person at a time.
Yeah. And what can you break down the word community? Community means it's common unity. as long as we've got a common, something in common. And, you know, I make sure all the people that I engage with, we all have to find our common ground and what we have in common. I'm more your friend. You're more relatable to me than... I'm more your friend than I am your enemy. But it's just whatever has been polluted in our communities has made you look at me and made me look at you as the enemy. But yo, we're probably into the same things.
More in common than not.
We're both from Africa. We might both be from the same village in Africa. Our mums probably, you know, grew up similar. You know, there's so many things that we relate to with each other. But we focus on the things that we don't, that don't really matter.
Yeah.
Okay, you're from this part of London, I'm from this part. Yeah, so now we've got drama and beef.
Yo, where's the sense?
Yeah,
where's the sense?
We're dying over too much senselessness, man. But, you know, we're living at the same time, so it's just about continuing to live and continuing to grow.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
For sure.
So, very finally, what are you hopeful about at the moment? What does give you hope?
What gives me hope?
Yeah.
You know what? What gives me hope is I'm looking, if I'm just more on a personal level.
Yes.
I'm looking at the people I know personally.
Mm-hmm.
Right, a lot of things give me hope, but the people I know personally, the mothers that I know personally, whether that's my queen or my friend's queens, you know, the mothers and the fathers that I know personally, and how great they are as people, as black men. And then they've had babies, brand new babies, 5 months, 2 years old, and just the me knowing what they're gonna be installing into their children, you know, is giving me a lot of hope for the next generations coming up. Because, you know, and this is me generalizing, my father's generation, from what I know personally, probably wasn't the best generation. So that's no disrespect to all the fathers that's in my father's generation that was there for their children.
Yes.
But, you know, I know a lot of mothers that were single mothers, you know. But when I'm looking at my personal friends and people that I know of, and I know who they are as a man and what they stand for as a man, or what the lady stands for as a woman, as a mother, yeah, what we're going to install into our babies is going to be so beautiful.
Wow.
So if we continue to just do a great job, and we continue to learn,
yes,
we continue to understand, we continue to listen, we continue to push for change, and we continue to push to change the narrative, we're going to install that into our children, where we're just going to have a generation of young, beautiful, black queens and kings that's going to stand up, that's going to know their worth, that's going to feel on a level playing field with everybody else. Because that's all it is. We're not out here trying to be better than anyone and say we're better. There's no superior and inferior.
No.
There's none of that. It's just you are divine. You are special. You are great. You are love. You know, so...
Beautiful.
I just want to hail up all the mums and dads that's out there just doing a beautiful job, man. And you are doing a beautiful job. It's hard. I'm a new parent myself.
Oh, congratulations.
Yeah, thank you. It's not easy in the sense of the time and trying to balance your life and now bringing up a baby.
Yes.
But yo, I'm excited about the future. I'm excited to what I'm going to be speaking to my son about. I'm excited to what I'm going to be installing to my son. The same way my uncle installed a lot of greatness in me and made me understand my worth, I'm going to be doing that to my son.
Wonderful.
And I know all my friends and friends' friends are doing the same for their children, their babies, man. So we're going to have, believe, we're never forgetting about this generation now. And we're pushing. And this generation is a beautiful generation because, as I said before, they're so creative.
Yes.
The innovation, the fearlessness. So from that generation to my son's generation, you know, we're rising up.
Wonderful things.
And it's we're rising up in consciousness, we're rising up in love, and we're rising up in understanding. You know, so that's what I'm hopeful about.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
I feel I have tingles. the very thought, that's a wonderful, wonderful note to end on.
Yeah.
Really beautiful. And so finally, I think that's about my third finally, finally, how can people contact you? They'd like to, you know, make contact,
find
out more about your work.
Yeah, for sure. You can contact me on Instagram. It's a few great men underscore. So it's a few great men underscore, but you just type in a few great men, you'll find that. That's on Instagram.
Okay.
On Twitter, it's a few great men / okay. Michael Bell. So it's one of those two.
And that's Michael Bell with an E?
Yeah, Michael Bell with an E at the end. And yeah, that's my website. I've taken my website down, so that will be back up and running, but that'll be a few great men.co.uk as well. So yeah, just contact me and yeah, just follow the journey. It's
wonderful.
I'm still on a journey, I'm still learning. But I just wanna just give, man, because I believe in our babies, I believe in our young people, I believe in all people. I believe we've all got the ability to change, and we all got the ability to do better. You know?
Yeah.
And yes, that's what I believe in. That's what A Few Great Men's about, and that's what I represent. And you know, it's about raising up a new level of consciousness for our communities, prisons, or just raising up a new level of consciousness with anybody you get in contact with, man. Let's be each other's universal students and teachers.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
Thank you so much, Michael.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Appreciate that.